Welcome, everyone. We are here to talk about the new features in the ALM suite of tools, which were just announced yesterday. And I have with me Aaron, who is the principal program manager.
You got that right, yeah.
Of the Team Web Access and Work Items?
I would say it a little differently. So I look after work item tracking investments, agile project management investments, and reporting investments inside both Visual Studio Online and Team Foundation Server.
Okay. So. Big umbrella.
Yeah, big umbrella.
And we've got Claude here in charge of release management.
Hi, so I'm the GPM for release management. Actually, up to yesterday was on-prem, and now I'm also available online.
Hopefully you're going to tell us more about that while we're here. And then we've got Vlad.
Yes, who, last but not least, Vlad Jovanovic, Program Manager on the App Insights side. We're here to tell you how you can use App Insights for your devices and services, help make sure they're available, performing, and succeeding.
Okay, so before we get started with questions, why don't we just go through kind of a recap of the new announcements that we made for your areas?
Sure, okay. I guess I'll start. Let's see, I don't know that I can recap them all, but I think yesterday we announced the availability of Team Foundation Server Update 4, which is available for you now and has a bunch of new features in it, including improvements in our work item tracking area, some new pull request features, and just lots of sort of general goodness for those of you on Team Foundation Server.
And some licensing changes.
There are some licensing changes as well. We'll get into that in a little bit. And we've also got lots of great, all that sort of value is already live on Visual Studio Online and has been sort of trickling out through the last couple of months. So it's all there as well.
Okay.
So. And all right. So on the release management front, what we've added is Update 4. So in Update 4, our focus was mostly on making the deployment using a PowerShell desired state configuration and using PowerShell without having a deployment agent installed on the target server as we had in previous version. So we've improved that experience quite a bit. We've also included more activities and more actions that you can use. We also announced that now you can actually connect with the RM client directly into the RM server actually as a service on VSO. So that's in preview right now as of yesterday. So that basically you can actually run your old pipeline using VSO. In this first offering, we're able to deploy to target servers that are on Azure, and the rest will come later.
Okay.
And on the App Insight side, we talked about how we moved the Application Insight service from Visual Studio Online to an Azure subscription. And in an Azure subscription with an Application Insight resource, we talked about how you could create availability tests to make sure your apps are available. We also have the ability to really give you deep performance insight for your app, whether it's your code or your dependencies, and also the usage information so you understand what your clients are doing. And Ryan and Brian both really talked about how we're moving Application Insights to be really part of the application lifecycle, really bringing it right into the development environment. So if you're creating a new project or you have a project, make it really easy to add Application Insights from an SDK perspective. And we showed some of the new views, the diagnostic search, and some of the new Metric Explorer.
Okay, cool. All right, so while we're waiting for questions to start rolling in here, let's start with you, Aaron.
Sure.
Can you tell us about the stakeholder license that's gone live in Update 4 and it's already available with Visual Studio Online, but for those people who aren't using it?
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about stakeholder. When we first introduced sort of billing and turned on billing back in the spring for Visual Studio Online, we found that a bunch of people kind of got left out of the equation. In other words, as soon as you needed a license for those of the folks in your project that were contributing, you also needed a new license for folks that were just maybe observing what was going on in the project, and we call those people stakeholders. And we took a lot of feedback from customers. We learned that we needed a way for those people to have visibility into the project without maybe needing to pay to access and see all that data. So we introduced something that we called the stakeholder license, and it's essentially free access to view all work item data. So you can see it within backlogs. You can run queries and create those for yourselves and sort of full visibility into all that data. You get access to the team dashboard as well, and you can see everything that's there along with that. And it's unlimited, so you can add as many people as you need. So we feel like this really allows you to bring those people that we call stakeholders, maybe on the edges of your project, maybe not contributing to the code base directly, but it brings them into the fold and gives them visibility into what your team is doing.
So, especially executives.
Especially executives, yeah, it's a great selling point. So this went live over the summer. We kind of turned this on. I think it was the August-September timeframe. We've also bundled it into Team Foundation Server 2013 Update 4. And it's a replacement for what we used to call our limited license. We used to call that maybe the work item only view as well. And it's got a lot more functionality. So yeah, we're excited about that.
Cool. All right, so let's start taking a couple of questions from online. I think the first one's probably for you, Aaron. How does TFS work on Linux and Mac?
Wow. Yeah, it's, I don't know if that's for me, but I'll give it my best shot. I think one of the things that we like to say about TFS is that you can, and Visual Studio Online, is that it really is cross-platform. So we don't care what platform you're building for. If you've got code and you've got data around project management, we want to have that data and have it stored inside inside our server or inside our service. So we've got support for that. If you're doing work inside Eclipse, we've got a fantastic product called Team Explorer Everywhere, which gives you almost equivalent to what you would see inside Visual Studio right there for folks working in a Linux environment or inside there. So we're always trying to make improvements there and make sure that we're cross-plat sort of available.
Yeah. And of course, for source control, you've got Git, which will run on Linux and Unix and virtually every other environment, which can plug into TFS.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, that's something that we've been working hard on over the last couple of years, and you'll see us continue to make investments in.
Okay. Yeah, on release management earlier this summer, and update 3, we added the ability, one of our action in the boxes, to actually deploy with Chef as one of the mechanisms so that you can manage your pipeline on VSO or on TFS and deploy to Linux machine using Chef directly.
Okay, cool. So we are definitely expanding our cross-plat story considerably. So question for you, Claude. Can you talk about the licensing changes for release management that we also just announced?
Yeah, so what we announced is previously the licensing was roughly in kind of three roles, the stakeholder role, which was already free, as mentioned earlier. We have a need for an MSDN license to do authoring of pipelines. And then we had to license every target server we went through. So part of your pipeline, if you needed to go to 100 servers, we needed to license them. So what we announced yesterday, which will be effective January 1st, is that license for target servers will be free. So it will no longer be required to license every one of the target servers.
So if you wanted to deploy to 1,000 machines, you could go nuts and it's not going to cost you a dime more.
Exactly. It's not going to cost you more.
Okay. Okay, so some questions. I'm going to go down to the third one here. When will App Insights work to analyze mobile applications as it used to in Visual Studio Online?
Great question. So it's definitely the plan right now. As after Update 3, it was by default created a resource in an Azure subscription, but right now you still have a coming soon page. Right now is a temporary workaround. You could create an Application Insight resource in the portal and then use that particular application instrumentation ID for a mobile app so you can still get to your diagnostic search part that will show all the data that you've sent even for a mobile app or a Windows WPF app or some other desktop app. Right now, we are working on a curated view, a curated dashboard for the mobile scenarios, both a Windows Store and a Windows Phone app. Right now, this is sort of coming in the next few sprints, so it's relatively short. If it's going to be this year or sort of early next year is what we're trying to target.
Okay, very cool. So, Aaron, I think for you, what's going on with code reviews now that there's two code review mechanisms?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think a couple of thoughts. First, we want to have great code review capabilities, whether you're using Team Foundation Version Control or Git. You've probably seen that over the summer, we introduced what we call pull requests, which is a common sort of code review mechanism for doing Git workflows. And we could show a little bit about that as well. And I think you'll see that we're going back and making some investments in the TFVC side as well. And I can't sort of announce anything or show anything today, but you can bet that we're going to make sure we have great code review experiences for both sets.
Okay, so we made enough news yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. We made enough news yesterday. That's right. So
okay,
I will add sort of an additional point to that, and is that we're going to make sure that you can do a lot of that through the web as well. You see that with the pull request features where you get right into the web UI and you can sort of perform the action there. We want to make sure that that those sort of flows make sense, whether you're annotating code, reviewing code, diffing code. We really want to make sure it's good in the web as well.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think this one's probably also for you. Is it possible to reuse TFS on-premises CALs with VS Online?
Yeah, it's not. at least if it is, I'm not aware that it is, but I don't think it is. One thing I can say is that if you have an MSDN subscription, everything you see inside VS Online is there for you to use, and we encourage you to use it. But that's a little bit separate from what we would call a TFS on-premises CAL.
Right. Okay. So. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a roadmap for release management to deploy an Azure website and not just Azure VMs?
Yeah, so in the current IAM, we actually, the action that we run is either we can deploy with a DSC, we can deploy with a PowerShell or with our own deployment agent in the more classic model. So currently we are able to deploy to an Azure website, but it's left a bit on the user to go and find the right tool and, you know, write the PowerShell around it. So what we will be very busy doing over the next weeks and months is actually capture all these cases, put them into the blog, make them available into a gallery so that they're easier to consume. Our plan midterm is to actually give you a sense to get them directly from the RM client. But really the mindset is we're going to start make it a lot easier for all these different cases.
So right now, though, you could call MS deploy with your publisher settings as long as it's pointing to an Azure website.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So there's a way to do it. When will Application Insights work with WinForms applications?
Yeah, good question, Patrick. So one sort of change that I wanted to sort of discuss a little bit in this this forum is as we move from Application Insights from Visual Studio Online to an Azure subscription, one of the changes that we made that wasn't immediately obvious is that it was more than just a UI change, that we had sort of the same data shape here and the same data shape here. One of the changes that we made as part of the UI change, obviously there was a UI change, is actually how we get data from an application. We essentially used to get the app's data mostly from an agent that was installed on the server or installed on some client. There was an SDK, there was a way to get log data, and it was sort of all separate. We've essentially transitioned to a completely SDK-based approach. And essentially you can think of it as two parts. You can add the core SDK. Today we have a core SDK for .NET, any .NET app, including WinForm, WPF, any client app that supports .NET, you can add the core SDK. And by default, it'll do nothing. It'll have an application instrumentation key, but no telemetry data will be sent. Right now, those types of apps don't automatically have the checkbox to enable Application Insights for them in Visual Studio, but you can add the core SDK manually and then start calling all the different APIs, track metric, track trace, track event, track page view, or track request. All of that data can be sent, and you can view it. Now, there are certain types of apps, like the apps that we do make that little checkbox enabled in a project, that do more than just add the core SDK. They add a number of other SDKs that automatically create this instrumentation set and this data shape for that app that makes sense on an ASP.NET app, makes sense for a Windows Store or Windows Phone. So right now, Patrick, WPF apps, you could add the core SDK today and create lots of different telemetry data. This is actually what we're doing with our own Visual Studio client ID that's obviously not an IIS, not an ASP.NET app. It's going to be sending telemetry data to App Insight, a number of other apps, some of our own components. So
RM.
RM, the Application Insight Status Monitor, also is a WPF app that's sending data. So this is something that we're going to do. I've answered a question recently on Stack Overflow, but we're going to blog a few blogs on this, on how to support these sort of different types of apps that we haven't supported. Desktop app is actually the number one request on our user voice that we're going to be able to sort of put a check mark on, or sort of a partial check mark on. And same with Azure Worker Roles, which is, I think, our number two request on user voice.
Okay, very nice. So Aaron, I don't know who would answer this one. Are we planning to go forward with Microsoft Test Manager?
Aaron's the closest.
Yeah, gosh. I'll raise my hand and answer that one. Yes, we are. So I think that's it. I think one thing that you're starting to see in the test space is that we're we're really trying to double down on our investment in the web and make sure that not all the capabilities are just locked up inside MTM, but that you can do a lot of that inside the web clients as well. So we're taking the test story forward, and you'll see investment in both places. So
okay.
I would say yes.
All right, very nice. Any news for OData on TFS for on-prem?
Yeah, no real new news there. I think sort of maybe related to that is that you've seen us making a lot of investments in our REST endpoints and REST APIs on Visual Studio Online. And you'll see all of that investment roll into the on-premises product as well. So you're going to have those endpoints on-prem and not just in the cloud and on the service.
So the OData was kind of a bridge approach while we were working on the REST
APIs. A bridge
APIs.
Approach, yeah. And I think you'll see us make more investments in this area. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. So while we're waiting for other questions, Brandon, are you prepared to demonstrate some things on App Insights?
I think Claude's laptop was set up first, or I can switch.
Go ahead, Claude. And of course, I called you Brandon instead of Vlad because I was looking at the person who had asked the question earlier.
Let's take TFS.
So yeah, what do we want to demo? You gonna demo or I gonna demo?
Go for it.
No, okay, I'll demo. All right, great. So let's see. I'm not gonna demo App Insights or Release Management. So I thought maybe what I'd show is a little bit of some of the changes that came in Update 4, and specifically the one that might be the most interesting is our new pull request capability. So I'm gonna demonstrate this through Visual Studio Online, but this is also available on premises. We've got a little project that we checked in here, sample app called Fabricam, nothing too exciting about it. But one of the things that I'll show you is that we've got two branches that are inside this particular project. We're using a Git repo here, and you can see that 3 hours ago I made a branch of master called Responsive ABORC, and I checked in a few changes. So what we might want to do here is take those changes and sort of submit them back to master. And see if we can get those changes pulled in to master as a form of taking that code base forward. So I'm going to switch to the pull request tab here and just initiate a new pull request. You can see here I can select the branches that I want to include. So I'm going to say from responsive ABORC to master. Gives us kind of an idea of how many commits are in this, and we can see them down here below. And then we can go ahead and create this pull request. Now, at that time, what's really happened is we've taken that set of changes and we've kind of submitted it back to master, and we've sent it to different members of our team. So we sent it to the default sort of Fabricam team, but I could come in here and I could add, I think VJ is a part of this project. So let's see if we can find VJ. And we could ask VJ to go and take a look at these changes and review them as well. So once I've pinged VJ there, he gets an email telling him to go sort of take a look at this pull request. He can come in here and examine the different commits that are a part of this request. We can switch over to the code view and see those changes. And here's a very simple one that I said, start of changes for a more responsive design. I added some CSS. And then we can actually go into these individual files and actually diff them in line to see what's different. And in this one, again, it's pretty simple. I made some stylistic changes to it. I added a new Bootstrap CSS file to make it visually feel a little bit different. And I could come in here and annotate and sort of describe whether or not I think this is a good change or a bad change. So, looks good, hated the old title, something like that. Go ahead and save that. And then everybody's able to see these comments, these annotations that I made. And I can go ahead and provide sort of a thumbs up for this particular review. Once we've got all that sort of approval and review, we can make modifications here. Or we can go ahead and just say, let's go ahead and complete the merge. And at that point, we'll take all those changes from that other branch and push them directly into master. And then we give sort of some options here for allowing you to take care of and maybe remove that branch that we started from as well. So I think it's a really efficient flow. It's all web-based. It's all right there and fairly easy to use and intuitive. So yeah, we're excited about that. That's pull requests in Visual Studio Online and also in Team Foundation Server 2013 Update 4.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go back to some questions. I think I'll take this first one. Ken asks, is there a way to take TFS online backup on-prem? So you can move data back and forth between TFS on-premises and Visual Studio Online. We work with a number of partners In order to help facilitate that, we don't have a particular tool for doing that, but we do have a number of partners that provide tooling that does that. And that kind of leads into another question there.
Sure.
Is for customers who have customized their process templates in TFS.
Yes.
If they go and try and move data right now, they will probably lose data.
Yes.
So what can we expect in customizing work items for Visual Studio
Online? I'm glad you asked, Jeff. So one of the most common questions we get about Visual Studio Online is, when are you going to let me take the process that I've created on-prem and move that with me when I make a migration to the cloud? Said differently, when will you let me customize my process on Visual Studio Online? And it's been a long lead ask that we've had for a while. Today in the service, we don't allow you to do this. So we give you the sort of out-of-the-box process templates, and we make you live with those. And we know that people want to extend them and do more with them. So I can tell you that we're hard at work on this right now. We really have two key scenarios that we want to enable here. We want to allow you to take the customizations that you've made in an on-prem environment and take them with you if you're migrating to the cloud. In some ways, you could call that sort of bringing the process template that you had with you. There will be some limitations to that, but we think we're going to be able to allow you to bring those custom work items, those custom fields, some of the rules and things like that.
Okay.
The second piece to that is we really want to enable a very simple work item editing experience in the cloud. So you can imagine going up to a bug work item and you just want to add one more field. And I want to give you a way to do that right through the UI. Not have to understand what a work item type definition is or what we call a WITD. I don't want you to have to see the command line or understand the XML structure that lives behind that work item. I just want you to say add field, pick from a set of field types, and save and go. And we're working on that as well. So I have no timelines to announce today, but I'm here to sort of stand up and say we are working on this. And we hope that early next year we're going to have some announcements and get people started with customizing on Visual Studio Online.
Okay, and we have it recorded now.
Have it recorded. So invite me back in a year, and I hope I have a better story. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, and Vlad, can we use App Insights to report to a SCOM server on premises? And in fact, is there a story for App Insights on premises?
Yeah, great question. So right now there is an APM solution or also a GSM solution. The global service monitor, the availability monitoring set, that is part of SCOM that customers can buy, use, have on-premise, report on-premise, monitor on-premise apps. Right now, the App Insight data, if you, one of your developers are using App Insight and sending data to this App Insight service, I think the question is really asking is can the alerts, can the data from this App Insight service sort of link back to a system center environment? And the answer is definitely yes. We do want to make that scenario, improve that scenario from where it is today to really sort of give you the flexibility, however you're sort of getting to that world of DevOps. How do you still have some central place where you can see all of your alerts across your environment? So that'll likely take the form of some management pack that integrates with System Center, connects to Azure, and really has the capability of bringing all alerts and different resources, just like the existing System Center management pack for Azure works. But now it'll also bring App Insight resources in so that a user that's using System Center can see those App Insight resources, can see alerts for them, can understand potentially how the fabric, if the apps are still running on-premise, how those apps are doing, whether it's a fabric problem, whether it's an app problem, and really helping sort of both sides of that DevOps be able to resolve that problem and sort of reduce the finger pointing. So definitely Venkat is coming. It's really just when and sort of likely sort of early first half of next year.
Okay. And Aaron, I think we'll throw this next one to you.
Yeah.
Java teams.
Yeah.
How well does Java work with Visual Studio Online as your source control? How does it work for builds? What resources do we have available?
Yeah, so Orla's asking the question here, and it's a great one. I think I alluded to some of it earlier, but let me kind of recap a little bit of that. First, go ahead and give it a shot, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. If you choose Git as your source control, you should see no difference in sort of working. We've got great support for Git. That's not just great support inside Visual Studio, the IDE, but that's great support for Git workflows all up. You saw me demonstrating pull requests here through the web, And we've also got our Team Explorer Everywhere client for folks that are writing Java code inside Eclipse.
And I think also maybe it's important to note for people watching that it's not Microsoft's Git, right? This is Git. We have not made any changes to it or anything like that. It's what you're going to get from Git SCM or any other place.
It's just Git. Yeah, there's nothing that we've added to it. It's just Git. So that's first. In terms of work items, absolutely. You should find no hiccups in terms of using work items for a Java team. I can demonstrate for you here that we've got a fully functioning and really great web UX for using work items and managing your backlog. We've got a bunch of fit-for-purpose views here around creating priorities, ordering things. If you open up one of these particular work items, we can take a look and see that we've got rich work item definitions, things like inline text, HTML support, all that. I talked about customization, which will be coming soon yep. for you. We've got lots of planning views. So again, if you're planning a sprint for your team and you want to understand the capacity and how that works, we've got fabulous views for this. And none of this is dependent on what type of code you're writing. So this doesn't care if you're writing C# code or Java code or JavaScript or Python or whatever. It's there for you to use. And it's completely agnostic from the source control system.
And how about builds for Java?
Yeah, builds for Java is a good question. I think that's a place that we're trying to improve on and get better at. It's sort of not our sweet spot, but I think you're going to see us making more and more investments there. So
okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Are there plans for improving the release management web client and reporting features, Claude?
Yes, there is. So in update 4, we added some APIs. So as a part of the solution, where you can actually use the APIs and go look at the data available on RM, see where the transactions are, and so on and so forth. But our plan going forward is to improve the web client significantly, add a more visual, better tracking of where the releases are on the workflow itself, on the different stages, and as well as adding pipeline level metrics, as well as really specific level metrics. What we want is to give you the ability to look at a given pipeline and see how long does it take for my releases to go through, where am I spending time on the different stages, how long are my deployments on that stage, and so on and so forth. So really give you a good way to look at am I doing from a continuous delivery perspective, and where do I need to go and improve the next step in my process. Okay. So that's going to be, like Aaron, in a year from now, I hope we'll have a very good answer, but it's really kind of the next thing we're working on.
Okay, good. So Venkat had another question. Will App Insights be available for a purely on-premises setup?
Yeah, great question. It's definitely one that we get often. Right now, there isn't a plan in the shorter term for offering App Insight fully as a service that you can run on-premise, just like you can with TFS. Today you can run TFS or you can use Visual Studio Online, and you get the same feature sets as just sort of whether you're using our service or whether you've installed it. But I will point to sort of announcement that we made a few weeks ago where Satya and Scott were down in San Francisco, where we talked about this cloud solution, cloud platform system, where it does give you the capability of running a lot of components on-premise in your data center, in your environment, on a sort of a full fabric. Longer term, we talk about the advantages that Microsoft has, the enterprise scale, the hyperscale, and the hybrid feature. So with longer term, it'd be great to see. This is sort of off the record, sort of my own right now, something that I think will come naturally as part of that evolution, where we give customers all of those flexibility points, which is really something that Microsoft has and a lot of our competitors don't.
Okay, cool. You support Git only, or you support SVN as well?
Yeah, we support two version control systems, what we call Team Foundation Version Control, or TFVC, which is sort of our original version control system. We support Git. We don't have support for Subversion. So.
Okay, fair enough. Hans asks, will release management support automated tests for deployment scenarios?
Right, like an automated canary testing. So I'll just describe canary for everybody, and then I'll answer. So canary is when you want to get in prod, and let's say you have a number of servers that you want to update. So you will remove traffic from a server, update it, bring some traffic on it, monitor it for a while, and then if everything's fine, then go to two more server or 10% of your traffic, and if everything's fine, you go to the to the rest of the farm or the rest of the users. So currently, there's two ways you can do it right now. One is, for example, VSO actually is using RM to do its deployment, and they're using different stages. So there's a stage which is kind of prod part one, where you have a limited, where the setups that you're running in your PowerShells will say, well, I'm using only this traffic. And then you approve to go to the next stage, where you go to a broader audience and next stage. So that's one way to approach it. Another way is, we've just added that, is the ability, because we have tags on servers, so we define server groups that we deploy to. So we can tag the first server, the second wave, third wave, and then we can basically define the deployments on them. We can run tests or automated tests as part of the sequence. So there's already a way to run MTM. What I will say, though, is that all these things, we're planning to write a much better guideline on how to assemble all of these things together, and also to make available kind of sample scripts on all of these. Right now, it's doable, but it's based on, we're very conscious that when you start, it's a lot of things that you need to go figure out on your own. So we'll do a better job at make that available up front.
Okay, very cool. What will happen to lab management, since release management has a lot of its functionality? That's a good question.
Yeah, well, actually, in many ways, you can think as we continue integrating further our offerings, think about the release management environment tab will pretty much consume environments that will come from lab. So we're really merging the two offerings. So RM is more interested at using them as part of a pipeline and not necessarily at managing the environments themselves and managing limits on who can do what or tracking if it's up or if we should delete the environments or not, except if we do it as part of a pipeline. So the idea is that we'll merge those two. Think about the RM environment tab will kind of disappear to be the lab tab, more or less, or to be the same as the lab tab.
Okay. All right, so John asks, we love using web tools in Visual Studio Online. Is there anything new there with Update 4 for on-premises customers?
Yeah, it's a good question, John. And I think what I'm going to do is actually, let's go find out right now. And the way I'm gonna teach you to do that is if you go to visualstudio.com, so if you just go to our website, we have a news section up here that I'm going to show you real quick. And one of that news section is called Service Updates. And essentially, every 3 weeks when we're updating the service, we'll come up here and sort of document the set of changes that have been made and talk about them a little bit and talk about how you can take advantage of them. So first, we start with there, and I think that's kind of what John's alluding to. The piece that goes with this, though, is something that maybe often goes unnoticed, and we've tried to make it highlighted a little bit more here, but it's called this features timeline. And this is a table here, and I'm going to try to zoom out our browser so we can see it a little bit better. And what we do is we take all these items that we ship to the service, we call them out, and then we call out which update they're coming into over here. So if I scroll down a little ways, you can see a bunch of things that came out earlier. You know, new account and project pages were in 2013 update 2. Now, it looks like we're a little behind the ball here because we shipped update 4 yesterday. And if you see all these things that are marked future update, those, I think just about all of them are in update 4. Yeah, so they should say 2013.4. So I'm going to say, John, like, check this page later today, and I will make sure that gets updated, and we take care of that. One thing that I can say that we've added, and I believe is there, is what we call test execution charts. And a great feature here where we give you some great inline charting capabilities about your test suites and test plans. We allow you to roll up some of that data and then pin them back to your project and team homepages for visibility. And I guess I'm going out on a limb here, and I think that's in update 4. The website will tell us later today and confirm that, but I'm pretty sure that's there. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah, I hope I am too. If not, John can ping us back, and we'll talk again. So.
Okay. Any updates on Visual Studio Source Control Explorer integration with Git repos hosted on TFS? And do pull requests work inside the IDE?
Yeah, yeah. So let me see here. Any updates on VS Source Control Explorer integration with Git repos? So I think the question is, are we doing anything inside the IDE to better support Git? And I will just say yes. Stay with us. We know there's some rough edges. We're going to make them better, and we're going to make that a fantastic experience. It works really well. I'm not set up to demo it on this machine, but yes. The question is, do pull requests work inside the IDE? Pull requests is a web-based feature, okay, primarily. So you can view branches, you can view all your commits, you can see all that history right inside the IDE. But the initiating of a pull request happens through the web UI.
And is that because we have a lot of customers using clients that are not Visual Studio? Because it's Git, you can run it on any platform you want, basically.
Yeah, I think it sort of harkens back to one of the questions we had earlier about, you know, Java support. And you know, if we only built that support inside our IDE, teams that are working outside of our IDE might not be able to take advantage of it. And so that's why you see us investing in those kind of capabilities in the web.
Okay, so, great. Yeah. Is the Visual Studio Online task management feature available with the offline, with TFS?
Yeah, I was reading that earlier, and Jose wants to know if, I think some of this stuff I was showing around task management, is all this available in what we would call Team Foundation Server? And the answer is absolutely yes. So you get all of this kind of functionality that I'm showing you here. You get our task boards, and features like this where you can you know, drag and drop items, reassign these, you know, update them. All of this is available in Team Foundation Server as well as in Visual Studio Online. So yes, Jose, go check it out.
Okay. So next question. I'm not going to try and pronounce the name here because I'm going to mangle it. But what's the best tool to migrate old version of TFS into TFS 2013 without losing history?
Yeah, so if you're, I'm not sure I understand the question, because if you're doing an upgrade in place, you're not going to lose any history. So you shouldn't have to migrate data between different versions of TFS. If you're doing upgrades in place, it's all going to work right there. If you're doing migrations, we do have some tools that we've shipped out there that help you with those migrations. We also have one of our partners called Ops Hub, which is helping you with migrations from on-premises up into the cloud as well. So there are some tools out there for you to use.
All right. And you recently added load testing in Visual Studio Online. How does that work? Do I need a VS Ultimate license to use it?
Boy, I don't know. Like, you got, I'm not on the load testing team, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to answer that question. I don't believe you need a...
I think you need Ultimate to create them.
Well, you do, but we did add a new feature. I think it's, we haven't added it yet. So, you do need Visual Studio Ultimate in order to be able to create those load tests and execute them on the Visual Studio Online service. So, yeah, stay tuned on that.
Great.
Okay, Brian Harry is a great blog to follow for TFS. What's the best blog or place to follow regarding release management?
Actually, on the Visual Studio blog, we just recently added a release management tab on the list of things under ALM. Mm. And that's where we're basically tagging all our blogs to appear. There's also a documentation we're adding on MSDN as well. And again, over the next few weeks, we'll be very aggressive on pushing those out. Also, on the Visual Studio site itself, on the main page, we've added a lot of the links. So if you go to the Visual Studio online page and go under the products, we're basically under products, under additional products here. If you go to release management, we just added a number of different places here that you can also go and look and get for additional information. But again, this is a starting point, and really the Visual Studio blog, you'll see there's a new release management tab that just came up.
And maybe Darren, we'll have Brian blog about that new release management blog as well to make sure.
Yes, maybe that would be a good idea.
Go to Brian's blog, look there, and we'll make sure we advertise it there so you don't have to go hunting around.
All right, that's good. Okay, a while back, Visual Studio Online started offering automatic builds after a check-in. My builds work fine locally, but never build successfully online. Is there guidance or help available for debugging builds that fail in Visual Studio Online?
Boy, yeah, great
That's
question.
A tough one.
We have lots of guidance out there. We have some resources around getting started that are right on visualstudio.com. If you go to our support site, we've got an FAQ here. We've got a bunch of options around getting involved with the community, with forums. And I'll just also say, feel free to shoot me an email, abjork@microsoft.com, and I can get you plugged in with that team to figure out why your builds are failing. So we'll get you some help there, Bill.
Okay, good enough. All right, and AJ has asked, how does release management work with Visual Studio Online?
So currently the way it works with VSO is that we need the release management client. It's a WPF client that you need to download. Obviously, you need to have your account on VSO, and then Azure account for your target servers. Once you have that set up, then in RM itself, and maybe I can actually just show it quickly. Actually, the first time you connect, you're going to get a pop-up asking you about which VSO account and that you need to go. And then you can manage it into the administration itself under settings. So this is where you're going to basically put, here's the server URL that I'm going to hit. And then from there, basically, the type of resources and so on and so forth. Starting from there, then your experience with release is the same as if you were connecting to an on-prem release management server. The only difference is that it's hosted by us, and you add to again, log in into VSO as part of that initial entry point. After that, every time you go back with your client, that's just one of the servers that you have available to connect to. And with the same client, you can connect to an RM on-prem or to an RM online for another project. So it's really just a destination where we connect to.
Okay. So the experience should be the same.
The experience then should be the same.
And in that that dialogue you're showing there, Claude, if they click edit, that's where they just enter
right.
the account for the URL right. for their Visual Studio Online account. Is
yes,
that right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then from there, that's where we're gonna get it.
Okay. All right. So we've got a lull in the questions here. So can you go ahead and demonstrate, Vlad, some of the App Insights capabilities that we were just talking about today and that we announced as we jump over and connect your laptop up? Oh, connecting DisplayPort under pressure.
Upside down. Yeah, so the first thing I want to show for Application Insight is just how to get started. And the thing here is really easy. If it's an ASP.NET app, you can choose the web app. It's automatically all configured to add an Application Insight resource to your particular project.
Now, Vlad, is this all built in, or do you need to have
update
the Application
3.
Insights SDK installed separately?
This is with, as long as you have update 3 or above, or update 4, this'll appear here. It'll automatically be checked if your Visual Studio account is signed into an Azure subscription. So if you have an MSDN account like this subscription here, it'll automatically wire up.
Okay,
if I click OK, it'll create the project, and then it'll add all the Application Insight NuGets, the Application Insight configuration file, and if I run that app, it'll start sending telemetry data up to the service. Then I wanted to mention that I can add the core SDK. In this case, I have a console app that I've created. I can add the core SDK manually by going to NuGet, choosing this Application Insight core resource, and away you go. And what you get is a view that looks like this, where you have, in this case, it's an app that's already been onboarded. You'll see all your telemetry data here. You can click into it get to Metric Explorer or Diagnostic Search.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for that informative session. Hopefully that helps inform our listeners of a lot of the new features that are out there, and hopefully that answered a lot of their questions.
Great.
Great questions.
Thanks,
all right. Thank you very much.